This is Echo Zoe Radio, episode 107 for March 2017 with Michelle Leslie on the New Apostolic Reformation.
Welcome to Echo Zoe Radio, the podcast outreach of Echo Zoe Ministries, where you'll hear about important topics affecting the church today. Our primary goal is to explore a variety of issues while remaining faithful to God and His Word. Stay with us for the next hour as your host, Andy Olson, shares his conversation with this month's guest. Here's your host, Andy Olson.
I'm Andy Olson. Thanks for listening to Echo Zoe Radio. This is episode 107 for March 2017. My guest this month is Michelle Leslie, returning for her second episode with Echo Zoe Radio to discuss the New Apostolic Reformation. NAR is a large movement with dangerous, unbiblical teachings and really tough to cover in a 60 to 90 minute episode with much depth. So this is one episode I highly encourage listeners to check the show notes on, as we have links to articles and past episodes that deal with the subject we're covering. If you have kids, it's especially important to be aware of the New Apostolic Reformation and familiar with the means by which they lure in our kids, particularly when they hit high school and college age. Nevertheless, Michelle and I do our best to hit the basics. Here's our discussion on the New Apostolic Reformation. Michelle, it's great to have you back on Echo Zoe Radio.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back.
I was just looking up the archives to see when you were on last time. You talked about women's ministry with me. And that was May. It was May of last year. And
because I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Well, it's funny because doing one episode a month, it's kind of funny how it can be a while, but yet it's a recent episode, kind of, if that makes sense.
Right.
And because I started in May is the kickoff to the newest year of Echo Zoe Radio. So, and this is a March episode. So you're starting and almost ending the same year.
I'm just bookending the whole year.
Almost bookending the year. Yep. So tonight we're going to talk about New Apostolic Reformation. And this came up. It was, as people could tell, this is a little bit later than I've been putting out episodes lately. I usually like to do the first of the month. Doesn't always work that well. My personal deadline is that a month's episode has to go in that month. So we're still within the month of March. I asked Twitter if there were anybody had suggestions on topics and guests and whatnot. And your name was suggested by someone who goes to Nate Pickowitz's church, actually, up in New Hampshire.
And
she requested that talk about New Apostolic Reformation, and your name was on the list, a very short list of suggested guests. I think mostly because of an article that you wrote recently. And New Apostolic is a subject that I've covered before, but it's been a while. And I know I've gotten a lot of listeners since I really covered it. I think 2011 and 12 were kind of November of 2011. I interviewed Sandy Simpson, and then I interviewed him again a year later, November of 2012. And then I had a couple episodes in between there that covered New Apostolic type subjects. So it's been a few years. And I know I've got a lot of new listeners since then, and not everybody jumps into the archive. So it's good to go back over some of this stuff, because it's not something that goes away.
Right. It's a timely topic, because not only are new people coming to your podcast and coming to discernment and things like that, but the New Apostolic Reformation is really growing and reaching out more and infiltrating into more healthy churches. And so more and more people need to be aware of it so that they can make sure they're protecting their own churches and protecting themselves and their children, and making sure that they only believe sound doctrine and nothing that would contradict what God's word says. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight and talk about some of the ways that the New Apostolic Reformation is in conflict with God's word.
Yeah, well, let's start off with sort of a basic. Oh, sorry. Threw me off. I got a little bit of new. We're on Skype now, so you get the sound quality can be really good at times and really bad at times. So sorry if I get a little distracted by feedback. But let's start off with just the basics on New Apostolic. What do they believe? What are their practices? What makes them the New Apostolic? And I know you and I are going to kind of go back and forth. Some from my memory of past episodes. It's like I said, it's been a while. It's been over 4 years. But articles that we picked up in preparing and stuff, we can go back and forth and kind of help each other out with this. But let's start with the beliefs and practices.
Okay.
What do you see as kind of the biggies? What are the big things that make New Apostolic who they are?
Well, they have a lot of I heard it described recently as it's almost like a Christian role playing game, because they have all of these beliefs that would kind of seem strange to your average Joe churchgoer, and then they have, you know, they get these magic crystals and gold dust and demons that they're battling and spiritual forces and things like that. So that's one of the things that would first catch your attention about it. But as far as doctrine goes, one of the main things that they believe is that the office of apostle and prophet are still ongoing. Apostles, you know, like prophets, like the Old Testament prophets, apostles such as we would normally think of Paul,
the 12 and
people like that.
Yeah.
Right. And so they believe that those offices are still ongoing, and
either ongoing or sometimes they'll present them as restored, like those offices may have gone away, but now they've come back.
Right, exactly. So that's one thing that that they believe that's kind of doesn't hit our ears just right, you know, in the average church. So that's something to watch out for as well. Mm-hmm. And then they have a belief called the fivefold ministry. And it's based on one little passage in Ephesians 4:11-13. And that passage says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." Did you hear that? Apostles and prophets in there. Verse 12 says, "To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Now, to those of us in, I guess, what you might call more average churches, more biblical churches, I guess, that's a very edifying passage. And it talks to us about how pastors and elders are to equip the people to build up the body of Christ, so that people can become mature in Christ and we can become unified around the gospel. But the NAR interpretation of that passage, it's a lot like, you know, how the Mormons have some of the same words that we have, but they have different definitions of those words, like, you know, atonement and Jesus. They describe Jesus differently than we do. Well, the New Apostolic Reformation does the same thing to some extent. I've got a good article here in front of me called The New Apostolic Reformation. It's over at apologeticsindex.org. And what they say is that according to the NAR interpretation of this passage, the word "until" in verse 13, where it says, "until we all reach unity in the faith," it indicates that all five offices must continue governing the church: the office of apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, that those five offices must continue governing the church until the church attains to the goals stated in that verse, unity and maturity. But they believe that maturity is like when you've reached the level of working miracles and things like that. And unity means that everybody has to be in submission to the New Apostolic Reformation.
Yeah.
So they've really
interesting, because Because I often think of New Apostolic as being, because I've had friends that have been in it, going way back to shortly after I was saved, before I was discerning enough to see it. But I've always seen them as seeing like a tiered Christianity, and I've often compared them to Star Wars, and that, you know, they're like the Jedi Christians, and the rest of us are
right.
Your average stormtroopers, or your average rebel fighters, rather than being these elite Jedi. And
right, and that's really one of the heartbreaking things about the effects of the New Apostolic Reformation, is that it does set up this class system of, you've got the people at the top who, you know, they can prophesy and they hear God speak to them and they can perform miracles and they see angels and they take trips to heaven and all of this kind of stuff. And then you've got your peon Christians who don't, or your peasant Christians who don't do any of those things. And they're wondering, what's wrong with me that I can't perform miracles and I don't have the ability to travel to heaven and hear God speak to me and things like this. So it really does, it sets up regular everyday Christians for disappointment and for frustration, because they're being told that if they really are mature in the faith, just like we just talked about here, that one day they will be able to do all these same things. And they come to realize that it's not true. And they, you know, they're not going to be able to do these things. So
I think it also sets people up to almost pretend in some ways, especially with some of the more low level things, because your New Apostolic are going to be people who are into things like speaking in tongues. So they might force themselves to pretend that they're, and maybe they don't even realize they're pretending, because I think most of what that tongue speaking is just babbling. And they just kind of figure, they convince themselves that all I got to do is babble, and that's speaking in tongues.
Right. And some of it is pretending too. I mean, Bill Johnson has, within the last couple of years or so, come out and said that something like 80% of the prophecies that they prophesy over people are untrue. They don't come true. And he says that he's willing to have that happen, or to have the fake for the 20% real that happens. He estimates it's 20% real prophecies and miracles and stuff like that that happens. And so my question would be, how can you tell which is the fake and which is the real, you know, since so much of it is fake? But they use the fake to get to the real, I guess, in a way. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, as far as other hallmarks, practices, beliefs, you had the fivefold ministry. Right. They talk about kingdom.
Right.
They're big on, they're often are very dominionist. And I know I talked about that a few different times with a few different people. One thing that comes to mind was talking about theonomy, how, and then federal vision, and these two groups, which are normally theonomists and federal visionists, tend to be your very conservative Presbyterians, but which normally conservative Presbyterians are very orthodox, but they got this, they go off on a kind of a weird tangent with their the theonomy and the federal vision, but they have this bizarre crossover with the New Apostolic in their dominionism.
Yes, definitely. The New Apostolic Reformation is into dominionism, and what that basically means is that they have this thing called the Seven Mountain Mandate, and they have these various areas of society: education, media, government, the family. I can't remember what all seven of them are, but let's see if maybe I've got them here. Government, media, family, business and finance, education, church and religion, and arts and entertainment. And the basic idea is that Christians, according to, you know, Christians according to NAR definition, have to take over each of these areas of society in order to usher in the kingdom of mm-hmm. Christ, to usher in Christ's second coming and the kingdom of God. So they want to sort of infiltrate all of these various areas and attain positions of power and sort of take over, because they see that as their mandate, like in the mm-hmm. Seven Mountain Mandate name, to go do that so that Christ can come back.
And, they want to conquer sort of, those in Christ's name. They want to conquer that on his behalf and subjugate right. that realm of the world to Christ.
Right. Exactly. Or to their definition right. of it anyway. Uh-huh. But it's almost like they want to, they have the attitude that we're going to go out and conquer this and sort of force God's hand into sending Christ back in his second coming, instead of what the Bible would tell us to do is to be about the business of evangelism wherever God puts you in your life. And when God decides it's time for Christ to come back, he'll come back, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't really, there's nothing we can do to make God send Christ back. He'll do it when he's good and ready and at his predetermined time. And so that's one thing that conflicts with scripture right there.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking through my notes and I'm seeing, impartation as a big thing, that they would impart right. and, impart the Holy Spirit, but they're big on spiritual gifts. And so,
yeah,
you know, they would kind of blanket spiritual gifts with Holy Spirit, and that those things could be imparted on people by these apostles and transfer.
Yes. Yes. And these impartations are very, if you see it, I've seen various videos of these different impartations and spirits coming on people and stuff like this. It looks very demonic. If you would compare it to, you know, compare a video of NAR impartation or spirits or whatever, and put it side by side with someone who's a video of someone who's demon possessed, they would look very similar. And there are some videos that show things like that. But they say that this is all the Holy Spirit doing all of these things, making them crawl around on the floor and bark like dogs, making them, you know, make strange noises, making them tremor back and forth a lot, and just look like their bodies are completely out of control. And the Bible tells us that God is not a God of confusion. God is not someone who acts crazy like that or causes his people to act crazy like that. We don't see anything like that in scripture mm-hmm. where God is making people act in such undignified, out of control ways. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And certainly that applies to the way that we act as we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We act in self-control. So,
well, then it's yeah, interesting because they'll talk about, they like to use their buzzwords or terminology. And we'll talk about some of the buzzwords and stuff, but one of them is to be mm-hmm. drunk in the Spirit. And so they almost teach right. you the opposite of what you were just saying. They teach you to lose control, but they want you to lose right. control in turning that control over to what they call the Holy Spirit.
Right. And that we just don't see that in scripture. If you hold pretty much all of NAR practices and beliefs up against the mirror of scripture, you're going to see conflict mm-hmm. in just about everything they say and do. It just doesn't match up with scripture. And that's why we need to be on the lookout for it. And we need to be sure we reject it if it starts creeping into our churches.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if I seem a little scattered. I'm just going to kind of go through notes and bring up different points sure. that I found. The New Apostolic Reformation and Word of Faith have a lot of the same roots, and they've got a lot of similarities. And we've discussed that some
right.
few times in the past. I know with Sandy Simpson, Lennon Unger came on, and we talked about the roots of what he calls the Renewal Movement. And if you haven't heard that episode, check the show notes, echozoe.com/107. I'm going to have links to the articles that I'm referencing, the ones that Michelle's referencing. Past episodes we've done on the subject, and a lot of, this is one that I've got a lot of additional resources. Sometimes I got to really work hard to try to find additional resources links, but this one is not hard at all because we've done enough on it. And a lot of the good links I find or will send to other great links. There's a lot of great resources on it and stuff. But back to Lyndon Unger. Lyndon talked about, he calls it the renewal movement because there's so many different movements and factions and stuff that go by different names, but they've got a lot of the same roots and they have a lot of similar practices and stuff. And so Word of Faith, hyper-Pentecostalism, charismaticism, New Apostolic, a lot of this stuff, it's like just different groups of people doing very similar things.
Right. There's a lot of overlap there. And just to go back for a second and touch on what you were saying about the resources, there are a lot of very good resources out there. And so I would encourage listeners to take advantage of those resources and make sure that your pastor is aware of this movement and what's going on in this movement and how subtle it can be and how it can just really sneak in really before you even realize it. So make sure, I mean, don't go beat your pastor over the head with it or anything like that, but just maybe ask him if he's aware and offer to send him some of these links and some of this information so that he can be on his toes and know about it, because pastors are not only supposed to preach sound doctrine, but they're to rebuke those who contradict sound doctrine. And this definitely contradicts sound doctrine. So, and probably a lot of the people in your church are watching some of these so-called Christian TV stations like TBN and Daystar and God TV and things like that. And they're getting a daily dose of New Apostolic Reformation false theology. And so your pastor will need to be equipped to be able to teach people rightly that how this contradicts God's word and that this is not Christian like they're thinking it's Christian and not biblical like they're thinking it's biblical, and that they need to stay away from it because it's dangerous. So do take advantage of those resources and you know, help people to learn about it, and especially your pastor.
Yeah, and it's good to I'm glad you mentioned that, because New Apostolic Reformation is not like, it's not like a denomination. It's not like you're going to see such and such church, New Apostolic Reformation, on the side on the building. It's just not there. You know, they tend to grow by going into evangelical churches and trying to lure people into their weird doctrine, and they draw people out of sound churches or even squishy churches that at least are better than they are. They poach a lot, especially of the youth. They love to grab young people and pull them out and draw them into their system. We'll talk a little bit about that too. There's different organizations that are really there to grab the youth, and the some of the stories that come out of these places are downright horrifying. There's International House of Prayer out of Kansas City. And then there's Youth with a Mission, which presents itself as a missionary organization. I know they've got training bases in Hawaii, and they try to send people all over the world, especially Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific and Southern Pacific. They're in Campus Crusade or Crew. They're in deep into those organizations, these different campus organizations. They're getting kids as they're leaving high school and getting into college.
Right. And you're right. They really do. I call it a denomination by imitation, or a denomination by infiltration. Like you said, there's not, like, I'm Southern Baptist. And so we have the Southern Baptist Convention, and we have an organization with leaders and offices, and we come together every year and we vote on things. And, you know, there's a way for a church to become a Southern Baptist church if you want to, and all of these things. We have a statement of faith, but that's not how the New Apostolic Reformation is. There's no headquarters. There are no official leaders. There's no statement of faith. There's no way for a church to decide, oh, okay, I want to become a New Apostolic Reformation church and go through some sort of process to be inducted into the New Apostolic Reformation. In fact, one of the biggest churches, we mentioned Bill Johnson just a few minutes ago. He is the pastor at Bethel Church in Reading. Bethel Church, I put that church in air quotes because it's not really a church, but he is the so-called pastor there. And he denies being in the New Apostolic Reformation at all when
he's one of the biggest personalities
for the New Apostolic Reformation. Yep. So a lot of times what happens is, like you said, they will infiltrate existing churches and ministries and things like that. A lot of times what will happen is that a pastor will read a book by someone who's in the New Apostolic Reformation, and they'll think, oh, well, this sounds good. I'm going to find out more about that. And so they go to IHOP, the International House of Prayer, and they go to a conference there and they like that. And they start bringing some of those beliefs back into their own church. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes by, their own church just becomes more and more New Apostolic Reformation. And so that it's sort of taking over healthy churches like a virus, using healthy churches as a host, mm-hmm. And coming in and just taking over and ruining things, you know, in an otherwise healthy church. So,
yeah. And they like to use popular Christian music as well. It's a big thing. And that goes along with that luring in youth. And two of the biggest vehicles that they use in that regard are Hillsong out of Australia. And then Hillsong's got churches, quote unquote, all over the world. There's several within the U.S., but based out of Australia. And then we've got Jesus Culture, which is based at Bethel Reading in Reading, California, with Bill Johnson's right. church. And the youth just love this rocky, you know, really... This music that's very much like the stuff they hear on the radio, on secular radio, but it's got, you know, Christianese lyrics to it.
Right, right. And one of the things about the music as well, that a lot of people don't even realize, is that it is so repetitive in both the harmonic structure, the melodic structure, and the lyrics, mm-hmm. that it can really lull people into actually an altered state of consciousness. It can almost hypnotize you. And when you're in that altered state of consciousness, you're more susceptible to being led into this false doctrine. And so it's not a mistake. I mean, we joke about like 7-Eleven choruses where you sing seven words seven times, but it's even longer than that in a lot of these songs. But there really is something to it when it's this repetitive for the, I mean, they'll stand there with their arms in the air for an hour or more singing these repetitive songs over and over and over again. And it lulls them into this altered state of consciousness.
It's designed to be hypnotic. It gives people kind of a spiritual feel to be hypnotized by the music. And then they can tell them that's the Holy Spirit coming in and embracing them in their worship.
Yeah, any kind of feeling you get or any kind of experience you have or anything that's supernatural that you feel like is happening to you, they blame that on the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. or they give the Holy Spirit credit for that wrongly, which is blasphemy. So
I don't have the article up in front of me now, but you wrote one on the buzzwords. Can we talk about the buzzwords?
Sure. Yeah, I actually wrote this a couple of years ago. It's a fast and dirty sort of litmus test to see if maybe the New Apostolic Reformation is sort of creeping into your church, or if what you're listening to on a podcast or a video or on TV or something like that might be maybe something you should take a closer look at. And I just made a list of some of these. Some of these words that you hear from New Apostolic type teachers that you wouldn't normally hear in your everyday Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. They sort of have their own vernacular that they use. And so If you're hearing a lot of these words, some of them are just words. You know, if your pastor says one or two of these words, it doesn't necessarily mean he's a false teacher or that he's in the New Apostolic Reformation, because they're just words. But if you're constantly hearing this type of vocabulary, it should serve as like the warning light on the dashboard of your car saying, check engine, you know, check yep. into what's going on behind the vernacular and see if maybe there's some false doctrine going on there. So did you just want to go through this list?
Yeah, I brought it up. So the first one you got is the glory.
Yes, in the glory. And I've got a quote there from Joshua Mills, who is in the New Apostolic Reformation. And he says, sometimes as I stand in the glory, my hands and feet will begin to drip with supernatural oil, representing the miracle anointing of God. And he will stand there and hold up his palms and show you that there's something dripping from them, some kind of oil or whatever. And I've seen videos of him where he'll stand, you know, like on a piece of paper or something that would absorb oil, and he'll stand there and then they'll hold up the piece of paper and show like oily footprints from where he was standing. But when they talk about being in the glory, it's just this very nebulous term of I'm in contact with the Holy Spirit. I'm enveloped by the Holy Spirit. And so these weird manifestations are happening to me. So that's kind of what that means. So if you're hearing that a lot, that could be a red flag.
Mm-hmm. And as we go on through these, I'm just kind of quickly scrolling. There's a lot, like I said before, we were talking about the crossover with Word of Faith and other renewal movement types as Lyndon. I like, you know, point people back to that with Lyndon Unger, his article and our episode that we did together on it. The renewal movement is a great title because it does, there is so much crossover and there's so much similarity and there's so much common history between a lot of these groups that it's easier just to give them one title that covers everything. And we'll see, yeah. You know, the very next one on the list here is Joyce Meyer, who's known as a Word of Faither, where, you know, she's not quite as known as New Apostolic so much, but she's, her face is on In the Natural. And then you've got a quote from her about In the Natural.
Right. And that just means In the Natural, they just mean it's sort of like the opposite of being in the glory, like we just talked about. In the natural would mean in the flesh or in my regular daily life. When I'm not floating around talking with angels and visiting heaven and you know, making all these weird noises and whatever. Mm-hmm. In the natural would be like you and I live in the natural, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes they just use that to mean like in your everyday life. Sometimes they would use that, like we would say, I was acting in the flesh, you know, in your sinful flesh. And her quote there is, I learned that even when we are in a place of obedience, we often have no way in the natural of knowing for sure whether we are right or wrong. In other words, in your daily life without talking face to face with the Holy Spirit, like many of these people claim to do, we don't know whether we're doing something right or something wrong. And you're right, Joyce Meyer is not someone you would think of normally being in the New Apostolic Reformation. You would think of her as being Word of Faith. But because there is so much crossover, sometimes it's really hard to tell. Like you were saying a few minutes ago about Hillsong sort of being in the New Apostolic Reformation. I've heard that more lately myself. I'm still sort of calling them Word of Faith because I'm not seeing quite as many of the strange manifestations, the push to overcome the Seven Mountain Mandate or to fulfill the Seven Mountain Mandate.
They've always been intended. They've intended to be kind of the gateway drug to the New Apostolic.
Right.
And so
exactly.
They don't want to be overt. They want to just kind of slowly, you know, subtly lure people in.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go full on New Apostolic, then it kind of sends up red flags with some people.
Right. And it's interesting. I read an article recently about how the Word of Faith movement is doing that. They're not being as overt with their, you know, you can speak things into existence and you can just make positive confessions and what you say will come true and things like that. They're being more more subtle to draw people in because people are seeing, oh, well, I can't really speak things into existence like God does. So this is a bunch of malarkey, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're more focusing on you can be happy, you can be successful, people will like you and stuff like that. And that's how they're drawing people into Word of Faith false doctrine. And once you get in Word of Faith false doctrine, then you get more introduced to New Apostolic Reformation false doctrine. But you're right, renewal is a great term that kind of, it's a catch-all term that covers all of these things, because they really do have this, you know, if you get right down to it, they really do have the same root, and that root is Satan, because this is mm-hmm. false teaching. And so, I mean, there's a lot of things that you could throw into that
basket. Just in the last, you know, through mostly American church history in the last 100 to 150 years, they really do have they have the same spiritual head. They have the same physical ancestry as well. There are a lot of this, they point back to a lot of the same people as their heroes and their progenitors that went ahead of them.
Right.
In some cases, they fork off.
Well, number three.
Yeah. We're probably actually, I'm looking at the clock and there's just so much to talk about. We probably should pick up the pace a little bit. I want to buzz through this a little bit quicker. And then we had some Twitter questions because I did tweet out a good week or so ago when we decided we were going to do this and ask for questions. And I got a few good questions that I want to be sure that we cover. So let's try to get through this, then we'll take a break, and then go through these questions, because I think the questions alone we probably could spend a half hour on.
Probably so. All right, well, we'll see these real quick. The next one on the list is shaking and shifting, mm-hmm. And I've got Cindy Jacobs there, a picture of her, and a quote from her. If we continue to pray and call out to God, the nation will shift. And then another quote from her, there is terror in Tampa, Tallahassee, and Miami. I guess she's in Florida. A ring of terror, but God has a ring of fire, shaking, shaking, shaking. And this is just their way of saying that God is shaking things up, and there's something going on in the spirit realm that, gosh, I'm starting to talk like him. There's something going on in the spirit realm, in the realm of demons and angels and spiritual warfare. Sure. So that's shaking and shifting.
Decree.
And then the next,
the decree.
Yes.
Decree by T.D. Jakes.
Right. Again, there, we've got T.D. Jakes there, who you would normally think of as Word of Faith.
Sorry to interrupt. This one goes well with the next one. Let's put the two together. Decree and declare. Okay. The quote has both in it.
Right. And those, again, there's a lot of overlap there because we've got decree and declare, and we've got T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is big on declaring, mm-hmm. and they're really more Word of Faith than New Apostolic Reformation. But at the same time, New Apostolic Reformation uses both of those terms there, just saying that you can have what you say. If mm-hmm. you say that something is going to be a certain way, then God has to do that for you, mm-hmm. because you have the power, supposedly, as a Christian to do that.
Next we have Spirit Man.
The term Spirit Man, right. The term Spirit Man, and we've got Jennifer LeClaire there, and she is a big New Apostolic Reformation person. She's the editor of Charisma Magazine, and she is, oh my goodness, if you read some of the things that she writes, it's just wacky. But when they're talking about their spirit man, she says, pray always, and when you catch your mind trying to reason out a prophetic revelation, whatever that means, let your spirit man rise up and take control. In other words, don't act in your normal reasoning and logic. Lose control and let whatever that spirit is in you take over and act mm-hmm. in your spirit. Just, it's kind of hard to
same mindset as that drunk in the spirit thing we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, which I think we've covered pretty well already is everything needs to be directed by the Holy Spirit.
Right. This one is more like they call the Holy Spirit. They don't say the Holy Spirit like we would. They say Holy Spirit, like it's his first name or something like that. And so that's just going to hit your ear kind of weird when you hear it. Instead of saying the Holy Spirit, just Holy Spirit, like that's his name. Then we have number 8 in the heavenlies. And we've got Patricia King there saying war in the heavenlies. We can battle against the enemy's strategies through prayer and declaration of the word. This wins the battle in the heavenlies before it hits the earth. And this is just a way of talking about spiritual warfare where angels and demons are doing battle, and you through your own prayer life are battling demons supposedly. And so it's the realm, the spirit realm that they're talking about where spiritual warfare.
Yeah. That one's a big new apostolic thing. And I'm trying to throw out as many new apostolic names as we can, because throughout this, I'm not going to think of everybody. We're not going to think of everybody, but it's good to throw out names. When I hear this one, I think Rick Joyner. I think Todd Bentley. This is a big thing in new apostolic, this heavenly, and then the seven mountain mandate thing that we were talking about. This is a big part of it, is war in the heavenlies, and how that bears out through that seven mountain mandate you talked about earlier. Everything's a spiritual war, and they see it as like more of an actual war.
It's like I was saying earlier, how they describe it. Some people describe it as like a spiritual role playing game, almost like Dungeons and Dragons, or it was Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is now. They have all the weird ones now, so I don't know. But so it's like that. Yeah, they've got different powers, and they've got different battles going on in different realms. And it's just, I'm just not smart enough or have a good enough memory to keep up with all of it. So I could never be New Apostolic Reformation. I can't remember all of it. And then the next thing on the list we have is come into agreement or alignment, that we're supposed to, that, well, let me just read the quote here. This is from Cindy Trim. She's another big New Apostolic Reformation person. She says, the Bible states that God before time determined your zip code, that spiritual place and geographic location. When you get into that spot, everything around you will begin to come into alignment. So in other words, everything around you, when you are, as they define it, in the center of God's will, all of your life circumstances will start lining up and aligning with God's purpose for you. So I don't know how you figure out if you're ever in the center of God's will or not, or how you get there or whatever, but when, you know, if you can claw your way through the darkness and find it, then everything will start working for you. So that's what they mean by that. And then the last one again is more, is cast vision. And that's a lot, something that a lot of seeker driven churches use, and pretty much everybody else uses also in the New Apostolic Reformation, Word of Faith. And that's just basically setting up, you know, your agenda for what you want to happen in your church, in your life, in your ministry, or whatever. So
I just wanted to comment that on some of these, you know, you've got a picture of somebody on it, every one of these. And I'm seeing on a couple of those, you gave credit for the picture to the Elijah list, which is another big new apostolic thing. And the Elijah list, let me see it. You probably have more recent memory than I do, because I actually subscribed to the Elijah list when a friend of mine was into it back very early in my days as a Christian, very early 2000s, 99, 2000, 2001. Friend of mine was big into it. It was, at least at the time, it was an email list where they would get, these new apostolic people would get their prophecies, and they type it up in an email, and then anybody who subscribed to the list would get a copy of the email, and you'd be all boned up on what's the newest, the latest and greatest prophecies coming from, well, this was Cindy Trim or Trisha King or Rick Joyner, or, and of course there was a whole bunch of them, so you kind of, they pick their favorites. You know, if you're just an average Joe Schmo that is a subscribe to the Elijah list, you're gonna come up with your favorites. And oh, there's a new Rick Joyner prophecy just came in, I gotta read it. But that's very much a big and getting to be, at least on the internet, kind of an old new apostolic thing that's been around for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now there's YouTube, and so they can just get on YouTube and give prophecies on YouTube or on their blog, or now they can make you, you know, pay to subscribe to their prophecies or whatever. So.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Using it for sordid gain.
Yep. That's for sure.
Well, I feel like we're just clipping along, and I had kind of warned you before we started that around 25 to 35 minutes, I wanted to take a break, and we're 42, according to my little recorder timer. So let's take a quick break, and I want to come back, and I really want to make sure that I put some time into the questions that we got. So we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Echo Zoe Radio.
Did you know that you can hear this podcast on Voice in the Wilderness Radio? VWR was founded for the purpose of magnifying the preaching of those whose preaching magnifies God. We're a 24/7 streaming radio station that you can listen to online or free apps for your mobile devices. You'll hear constant preaching from men like John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Paul Washer, Vody Bauckham, Steve Lawson, and more. And you'll also hear podcasts like this one. VWR only plays material that conforms with our strict standard of sound exposition, discernment, and solid adherence to doctrines like the inerrancy and sufficiency of Scripture. The real heart of VWR, however, is to highlight the little guy, the pastors of small churches who are faithful expositors each week and enjoy bringing to you some of the best sermons you've never heard of from some of the best pastors you've never heard of, to help equip you for ministry and edify your soul. And you, if you're listening, can submit your sermons to VWR as well. Listen online at wildernessradio.com or download the apps for your mobile devices. And thank you for supporting this quality podcast.
My name is Landon Chapman, and I want to tell you about the Fire Away Podcast. The Fire Away Podcast is the radio ministry of IntrudingFavor.com and the IntrudingFavor.com website. Each week, I discuss a variety of topics from a mostly Reformed viewpoint, ranging from current events to scriptural exposition. My goal is to be faithful to the Word of God, to glorify Him, and in the spirit of 2 Corinthians 3:18, be transformed into Christ's likeness. You may find the Fire Away Podcast at IntrudingFavor.com, SermonAudio.com, subscribe on iTunes, or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher application.
Thanks, Michelle. This is flipping along so much faster than I expected, but just so much to talk about.
Am I going too fast?
Pardon?
Am I going too fast?
It's not you. It's just the material. I think we're going quickly. There's, like I said, so much to cover. And I definitely want to go back. Let me state it again. Episode 107. So echozoe.com/107. Please check out the website or that page for this. And you'll see, I'll have an outline of what we're talking about. And then if you scroll down, there's additional resources and related episodes. And definitely, if you haven't heard them yet, go back and listen to them, because there's so much more. I talked about Sandy Simpson, and he is somebody who I encountered because I started hearing about New Apostolic, and he's got some great materials. I don't know him for anything else other than his study on New Apostolic. He was a missionary at the time in Hawaii when I was talking to him. I think he's moved back to the mainland since then, but a lot of great stuff. And he's dug into the history. We did two episodes together. I've done them with Bob DeWay, Lyndon Unger. There's a bunch of them. And then those episodes will have other links. And like I said, you can get lost in this stuff. And I've got articles by Chris Roseborough. I was just listening to a wonderful episode by Chris Roseborough about Dr. Michael Brown, who we'll get to in the questions here coming up. Michael Brown, the question is he New Apostolic? I'll hold that off to when that question comes up. But there's just, and his articles have tons and tons and tons of links to other resources. Bob DeWay is a friend of mine. We've done episode together. He's done critical issues, commentary articles, numerous articles on the New Apostolic. There's just so much stuff. If you really got to know this stuff, especially as it comes in here, especially if you've got kids and they're coming up to like high school and college age, get to know this stuff because you're going to encounter it sooner or later. But as for time, let's do it. The first question that I have written down, I didn't necessarily write them in the order they came in, but the one I got written down, wondering if there's any biblically conservative Christian leaders that are known to be connected to the New Apostolic Reformation. That was Gary W. by Twitter. All these are by Twitter. Gary W. was wondering, do we know of any biblically conservative Christian leaders that are known to be connected to in some way the New Apostolic? Any come to your mind?
Well, if they're biblically conservative Christian leaders, I would think they would not want to have anything to do with the New Apostolic Reformation. I'm not sure I understand the question. Does he mean like political leaders? Or?
Well, it was Christian leaders. No, I think he meant church leaders. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact. I kind of reworded the question when I wrote it down. I didn't keep the Twitter up, but I took to mean he was wondering about within churches. Is there somebody in a church or a ministry that we need to worry about? And I had the same thought. I think the more grounded in scripture people are, the less likely they are to have anything to do with New Apostolic or to be using any of their means and methods. So I can't think of anybody. I think the key word there is biblically conservative, because I mean, if we're going to get into the politics here in another question or two, and if they'd said politically conservative, yeah, I think we could name some people.
Well, let me say this: there are some doctrinally sound, biblically conservative pastors and Bible teachers. They might fall under sort of the celebrity Christian label, that they know their Bibles and they're good, solid pastors and Bible teachers to listen to, but they're not very discerning about who they hang around with. And so maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, that's a good point. As you say that, I think the first one to come to mind would be John Piper. And John Piper is, overall, theologically, he's pretty good. But yeah, there was a period of time there a few years ago where he was getting a lot of heat because he was hanging around with Rick Warren and a few other people.
Right.
But
the people that he's been hanging around with lately, I wouldn't label as New Apostolic Reformation. He's gotten some criticism for linking up with Catalyst, the Catalyst Conference, and Christine Kane, and some other people of that nature. But those are really more what I would call word of faith people.
When he started going off, there was a funeral that he went to, and he was kind of buddying up with, I think it was Rick Warren, a few years ago, and and ever since that, I kind of distanced myself from following John Piper. Somewhere.
Yeah, me too. I don't think he's as discerning as someone of his stature and sound doctrine ought to be. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say this, but I'm getting concerned about Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler, I've listened to him for years. Fantastic pastor. I was just his biggest fan for the longest time. But the past few years, I've been growing concerned about some of the people that he and his wife associate with in ministry. I still wouldn't call any of the people that are coming to my mind, such as Ann Voskamp, If Gathering, Lauren Chandler has been involved with that, Beth Moore, People like that, I still would not call them New Apostolic Reformation. False teachers, certainly.
Sure.
And it's concerning that they're associating with people like that in ministry. But I can't really think of anyone who is biblically conservative that is involving themselves with what I would call New Apostolic Reformation type people.
Is Matt Chandler Gospel Coalition? Because they've been getting in some really troublesome stuff too, where they might.
I don't know that. I don't know what his connection, if any, is with the Gospel Coalition.
Well, that's one that I'm kind of wary of too, is the Gospel Coalition. There's a bunch of, it's a big group of people, and they're kind of known for elephant room stuff. You know, they did that thing with T.D. Jakes a few years ago, and getting into, I mean, they're people that have demonstrated that they should have a little bit more solid sense of discernment, but being a little bit too friendly with people that are known to be false teachers, heretics, wolves in sheep's clothing. Very troubling.
Yes.
So from the biblically conservative to the politically conservative, I don't know their real name, but the Twitter handle is Teal Tweet, and he's got two questions. He or she might. I don't even know. Had a couple of political questions. Ted Cruz, his dad, Rafael Cruz, I want to say. And then
that sounds right.
And then President Trump. Are they connected to New Apostolic? Do you know of connections?
I had heard during the election, while Ted Cruz was still in the race, that his father was involved in the New Apostolic Reformation.
Okay.
Now, I didn't look into that. I read a couple of articles that alluded to that. I don't know how true that is. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I didn't research it.
Yeah.
But when that came out, Ted Cruz himself seemed to distance himself from that and to say that he was not involved with that kind of thing. So that's the best I could could answer that question. So
a firm I don't know on either one of them.
Right.
Not sure. I've heard more about Rick Perry and Sarah Palin when it comes to connections to New Apostolic.
Right.
I have questions about Michelle Bachmann. I think she's into some weird stuff too. A former representative here in Minnesota. She's no longer a representative anymore. She's been out for a few terms, but those are names that I've heard come up of prominent politicians that are, you know, kind of sell themselves as conservative Christians.
Right.
As far as Donald Trump, I personally don't know. I'm going to start off by saying I don't know for sure. I would doubt it, though. I really would doubt that Trump is New Apostolic. And the reason being, I don't think Trump really understands theology much at all, good, bad, or anything in between. I think he's definitely using word faith people, New Apostolic people, to his political advantage. He's spending a lot of time with these people. He's getting political help from them, and I think he's taking advantage of that. I don't necessarily think that he knows what they're into. I don't think he's believes any of it. You know, I'd heard during the campaign that if he went to church at all, he would tend to go to a very liberal Presbyterian church, PCUSA churches. And he wouldn't go to any other church other than a PCUSA church. So if he was out of town doing a campaign rally somewhere, you know, in the middle of the country, and you heard that he went to church this morning, it was probably a PCUSA church. Typically, those liberal churches don't tend to have a whole lot of crossover with NAR, New Apostolic.
Right. I would tend to agree. I really don't even want to talk about Donald Trump, because people are so either rabidly for him or rabidly against him. And it doesn't matter what you say, somebody's going to hate you because of what you said. But I think the fruit of his life speaks to the fact that though he may with his mouth say that he's a Christian, I think the fruit of his life speaks to the fact that he is either not saved or he is a very, very, very baby Christian who we've not had a chance to see fruit.
I would regard him as unsaved. I think it would be a lot safer to regard him as unsaved and pray for him and pray that somebody gets the gospel to him rather than assuming that he's got enough of it to
right. And to so that would lead me to think that now we know that there was a big to-do at the inauguration where Paula White, who I would put in the New Apostolic Reformation, and Samuel Rodriguez, who I don't know a whole lot about, but I understand he is either Word of Faith or New Apostolic Reformation. I'm not sure which, or maybe both. Mm-hmm. But anyway, both of them led prayers at the inauguration. Right. And so I believe that's partly where this question is coming from, since he had asked those people to participate in the inauguration. But I'm like you, I really don't think he understands even the basics of the gospel, never mind heresy and why he shouldn't be hanging around with New Apostolic Reformation people. I think that, what he's doing right now is what he knows to do, which is politics. And he's going to go with people who have big platforms and lots of media exposure. And he's going to do what's good for politics, which is what politicians do. I mean, that's what we're to expect of them. So I really don't think that he is in any knowledgeable way involved with the New Apostolic Reformation as a doctrine.
Yeah. So Renee W. asks, how is New Apostolic being exported through missions to overseas Christians? And I think was it Cindy that goes to Nate Pickwitz's church? She kind of asked the same thing when she brought up asking to do this. She really was wondering if I talk about YWAM. And I think that's part of it is they use organizations like YWAM to get kids into their fold and to get those kids feel like they're doing something for the kingdom by sending them out on missions trips throughout the world. That's part of it anyway. But you have anything to say about either YWAM or youth or missions fields?
Yes, a little bit. I'm not really familiar with YWAM very much at all, so I'll have to leave that to you to discuss. But one of the ways that this is getting exported, the New Apostolic Reformation is getting exported from the United States as missions, is that the New Apostolic Reformation brings in a lot of money. They're on TV, they're on social media, they're out there, they're making lots of money. And so they have the money to broadcast their programs in other countries. They have the money to send people to the far reaches of the earth to spread their false doctrine. They have a lot of money. So that's one of the ways that they're able to export these things to other countries. And if you really want to learn about what the New Apostolic Reformation and the Word of Faith movement is doing, particularly in Africa, if you'll go to gty.org, that's John MacArthur's site, grace to you, and go to the Strange Fire Conference archives from a few years ago. Conrad Mbewe is a pastor in Africa. I believe he's in Zambia. And he taught one of the sessions during the Strange Fire Conference. I believe it was 2013. It was a few years ago. And that's what he talked about was the New Apostolic Reformation and the Word of Faith movement and how it's invading Africa. And that's what is known as Christianity in Africa. That when you say Christianity in Africa, that's what people think of is the New Apostolic Reformation and Word of Faith movement. So he could really speak to it much, much better than I can and tell you what the effects are.
I'm going to click a link here because I want to go back to, I don't remember the exact episode, but I'm looking at the episode here I did with Sandy Simpson. And there'll be a little audio here, just a second. This is Echo Zoe Radio, episode 55 for November 2012 with return guest Sandy Simpson. New Apostolic Reformation, Part 2. So episode 55 is one of the ones that I mentioned before that I did. Did you hear that?
I did.
Okay.
Have I listened to the episode? You mean?
Did
no,
you,
I haven't.
Did
had
you
a
hear
chance.
The audio coming through?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Episode 55 is the second of the two episodes I did with Sandy Simpson. And we have on the list, you can see it just on the show notes. You don't have to listen to the whole thing, but there is a section on Youth with a Mission. I'm just going to read what I put for the bullet points, of the, you know, the outline of what we covered on that one, under Youth with a Mission. Because I know Cindy specifically asked about it, and it is part of this missionary thing and spreading it around the world. Youth with a Mission, commonly called YWAM, YWAM, was started by John Dawson, who influenced C. Peter Wagner. Now, C. Peter Wagner is a huge name in the New Apostolic. He's the hero. He's kind of the godfather of the New Apostolic Reformation.
Yeah, he's like one of the founding fathers, sort of.
And he influenced this John Dawson, who started YWAM, influenced C. Peter Wagner in the false spiritual warfare doctrines. Leadership of New Apostolic has said that YWAM and World Vision are working with them to spread their message to the world. And he specifically had Mike Bickle, who is the head of this International House of Prayer in Kansas City, specifically spoke about that. And Sandy did a DVD series, which was what I watched to kind of, it's how I learned about him in the first place and I prepared for those episodes. So he's got video of Mike Bickle flat out saying that, you know, YWAM is what we use to spread their message worldwide. Youth with a Mission teaches that all of the false doctrines of the New Apostolic Reformation, as well as emergent church, contemplative prayer, they've been supporting and promoting the World Gathering of Indigenous People movement. And that must go back a ways because I think he did these DVDs back in the 90s. And that movement, the World Gathering of Indigenous Peoples, encourages Indigenous peoples to go back to their culture's original false god and worship him or her or it as though it's the true god. And I think if I remember correctly, I remember him saying that's how he first encountered a New Apostolic as a missionary in Guam and then in the Hawaiian Islands, coming across this world gathering of Indigenous peoples movement. So I hope for more information on that, I definitely would point people back to that episode. Again, my memory is totally fading tonight. I believe it was 55. So it'll be in the show notes. echozoe.com/107. Scroll down to the bottom and all the links are there. Campus Crusade for Christ, also called CRU, involved with C. Peter Wagner since the days of Ralph Winter, early 2000s. International House of Prayer, which we mentioned, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I had a lot of friends in college in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Supports many of the goals and objectives of New Apostolic. So, one big last question I think could push this thing to an hour and a half, and we're at a little over an hour already, is about Dr. Michael Brown. Brandon from Alabama had asked, do you think Dr. Michael Brown is New Apostolic Reformation, especially given recent comments about the New Apostolic, Bill Johnson, and Bethel Redding he has made? I think I got a lot to say about Michael Brown, but I'll give you the floor first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Michael Brown is absolutely, positively, definitely, unquestionably in the renewal movement, as we mentioned before. This that's Lyndon Unger's term, and Lyndon Unger, easy for me to say. It's a great term. He's very much charismatic, Pentecostal. Michael Brown kind of got his start at the Brownsville Revival in Florida, and anybody who he's got a radio show that he does. I don't listen. I've interacted with Michael Brown a little bit, especially right after that Strange Fire conference. He and I were interacting. He spent 45 minutes of his show specifically addressing some questions I had sent him on Twitter. I was shocked. It was like, I don't know, was he do a 2 or 3 hour show? And he spent like a third of his show just specifically addressing my comments. I didn't think he did a very good job, but he at least gave me the time. He often will say, he'll more so lately, if you tweet him or email him a question, he points you to his radio show. You got to call my show. I can't address it on social media. You got to call my show. And he does it for a reason. He does it because it's easy to evade. It's very easy for him to evade. He can spend 15, 20 minutes just monologuing, pick you up, just kind of handle a little bit of your question. Oh, I've got other callers. I can't really talk about it much. I got to move on. It's so much easier when he's got a clock that he's got to keep. Michael Brown is dangerous, in my opinion. He's got some very good materials on a few subjects, very orthodox. He and James White are very strong on the Trinity. They work together on debating the Trinity and pushing the doctrine of the Trinity, which is fantastic. But unfortunately, that gives him some credibility that he doesn't deserve on other areas. He's really good on the subject of homosexuality and the current culture wars that we're going through. And I can't take that away from him. He's good on it. He does his research. He's got some great articles. He's written books. He does debates. He's great on that subject. But unfortunately, it's giving him kind of undeserved credibility on other areas. He uses that to run cover. I think of Michael Brown as almost the propaganda arm of New Apostolic and the Renewal Movement. He's very shifty. He likes to pretend to be, he feigns ignorance a lot. And, you know, I was just listening to Chris Roseborough did a show back in November. I was listening to today about Michael Brown. It was pointed out that he had a strong reaction to that Strange Fire conference that John MacArthur did a few years ago. John MacArthur wrote a book called Strange Fire. Michael Brown came out and wrote a kind of a rebuttal book where he took MacArthur's book and tried to refute it as best he could. And, you know, he thinks he did a great job, but, and then a week later, after he comes out with his book, he goes and spends a week on Benny Hinn's TV show. And he was getting a lot of heat about, you know, Dr. Brown. I mean, I understand that you have some common doctrines that you hold to, some common beliefs with Benny Hinn, but this guy's the heretic of heretics. I mean, he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing that is like, it's like comical. Like he doesn't even have a very good sheep suit. It's so easy to see that Benny Hinn is a heretic, and you go on a show and you're buddying with him for a week and you're whatnot. And of course his reaction was, well, I don't know him very well. I'm not able to go look at everything he's ever taught. And I'm sorry, I haven't seen it. I'll have to look into it. Well, then the Roseborough show was pointing out that, well, you wrote a whole rebuttal on John MacArthur's book, and he had a whole chapter on Benny Hinn. So how can you feign ignorance on Benny Hinn? You don't know. You've never seen it. You know, if you know of it, send it to me. I'd like to see it. It's very typical of Michael Brown. If you hit him with concrete facts, where you can point him to videos or verifiable proof that false teachers have said false doctrine, he'll feign ignorance. Well, I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But if there's anything good that he could possibly say about him, he's not afraid to say it. And I think that's very dangerous. And I don't think that he's doing it out of ignorance. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. And that's why I say I think he is the propaganda arm of that renewal movement.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember when that happened with the whole Benny Hinn thing, when he was saying, oh, I just don't know very much about him. And I said at the time, I said that him saying that would be akin to an Olympic swimmer saying he's never heard of Greg Louganis, you know, or something like that. And, or a politician saying he's never heard of George Washington or something like that. You know, there's no way he cannot, even your average churchgoer probably has heard the name Benny Hinn before and knows he goes around whopping people with his jacket and stuff like that, trying to heal them or whatever. That's just ridiculous for him to say he doesn't know anything about him.
anybody who's ever in their life turned on TBN knows the name Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. You cannot have ever watched TBN for any amount of time at all and not know the name Benny Hinn and not know what he's up to.
Right.
So as far as is he specifically New Apostolic, I don't know, but he sure is running cover for him. Michael Brown. Michael Brown sure is running cover for the New Apostolic. And I don't know if that's because he considers himself one of them, but he doesn't want to play his cards, or if there's just enough similarities with what he will openly proclaim is his beliefs that he doesn't want to throw them under the bus.
Yeah, and I agree with you about what you're saying about him, but I would even say scripturally, it doesn't matter whether he's in the New Apostolic Reformation or not, because what he's doing is violating scripture. Mm-hmm. 2 John 9-11 says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That's what we're talking about with the New Apostolic Reformation. They're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. It's like I said earlier, just about everything they teach, if you hold it up to scripture, it's going to conflict. Verse 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, in other words, biblical teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Mm-hmm. And that is what Michael Brown and others who maybe share a stage at a conference with NAR people and stuff like this are doing. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us in verses 14-18 tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We don't have any part with Baal. Children of God don't have any part with the children of Baal. Light has no part with darkness. And so whether they are actually people like this, like Michael Brown and others who associate with NAR teachers or things like that, whether they're actually in the movement or not, they're violating scripture by associating with these people. Yeah. It disturbed me greatly year before last, I believe it was, when the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ronnie Floyd, went and spoke at IHOP's conference that year. He was one of the main speakers. I spoke out against it vehemently on my little teeny blog, so it didn't really make much difference. But it really disturbed me that the president of my denomination would yoke himself together with unbelievers, and not just unbelievers, but people who are creeping in to our churches and destroying our churches with false doctrine. And yet he chose to yoke himself with people like that. And so when you yoke yourself or partner with people who are in the New Apostolic Reformation, even when you do things like positively retweeting or quoting people that are in the movement, you need to not do that, because other people are watching you. I mean, even just little peasants like you and me, you know, people are watching us, and if they see us shed a positive light on someone who is in the New Apostolic Reformation, they may look into that person and they may get false doctrine from that, and they may believe that false doctrine, mm-hmm. and that's dangerous to their souls.
Right. And I want to say about anybody, Michael Brown is a big radio show, as I mentioned. And I want to say about anybody who's got a spotlight like that, whether they be a pastor or a radio personality or a TV, YouTube ministry, Echo Zoe radio, whatever it might be. If you are a saved, born again Christian and you are mature, or at least maturing in the faith, you will hear people out when they come to you and they have concerns and they say, I see you quoting so-and-so favorably. This is what they've done before that is not biblical. This is why it's not biblical. They'll at least take it and say, I'll look into it. And then they'll actually look into it.
Right.
I don't see that in Michael Brown. And that's a huge red flag for me. When I see him... Every few months, things come up about Michael Brown. And It's a cycle. It's the same things coming up over and over and over again. And it's the same responses. It's, I don't know that person that well. I'm busy with my own ministry. I don't have time to look into this and that and dig into their person's entire past. I can appreciate that. I really can. I can appreciate, Michelle, I don't know everything that you believe. I don't know everything you've ever taught. Okay. I've asked you on my show twice because I did agree with you on two topics. And maybe it's another topic that we might do in a future. So I get that. I get that concern. I get that, you don't have time to dig into everything in somebody's ever said. But that's, why I only do positive shows. I only do interviews with people that I agree with on that subject. If somebody comes to me and says, Annie, Michelle is off there on her blog, she's teaching this heretical doctrine, I'll click the link. I'll look at it. I'll read the scripture. And then because I've spoken with you and I know you to some degree, I'll probably go and say, Michelle, this isn't so good. You might want to rethink that. Michael Brown doesn't do that.
Right.
People go to Michael Brown and he passes it off. It's like, I don't have time. It's not my problem. If you don't have time to look at what people say bad about people, they might be teaching false doctrine. They might be spreading poison around the church. I'm not going to lunch at their house. They're going to spread poison. I don't know if the beans have poison in them or the chicken's got poison in it or the lemonade's got poison in it, but I know that they're exposed to poison. And so I want to flush that out before I proceed to deeper things with that person.
Right. We have a responsibility to do that too, especially anyone. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be required. And we know in James 3:1, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness.
Absolutely.
And that puts the fear of the Lord in me. I don't know about how anybody else reacts to that verse, but I always think about that verse when I'm writing or teaching or whatever. And my prayer is that I will always point people to the correct handling of God's word. And right. If I don't do that, I expect people like you and some other friends of mine, my pastor, my husband, whoever, to come to me and say, hey, you got this wrong. And if somebody tells me that, I look at it. And if I was wrong, I fix it because I want to be right. I don't want to be responsible for leading somebody away from Christ or away from God's word. And I think anyone who has any sort of teaching or ministry responsibilities in the local church, online, wherever, we need to take that attitude because God is serious about this stuff.
Absolutely.
God's not playing with his word and with what he expects out of us. He's deadly serious. Mm-hmm. And so we need to take things like that as seriously as God does and be obedient to him and want to get things right and want to be biblical.
Yeah, well said. Well, I think we did get probably 20 minutes out of Michael Brown, so I'll let that be. But take a long answer and make it just a little bit longer. I'll just reiterate. I don't know if he's specifically New Apostolic, but he sure is running cover for the New Apostolic. He's sure not questioning him. He's sure not calling him out when they are clearly wrong. He sure does try to make excuses for him when people point out to them where they're wrong, when he has to. He'll ignore it. If he can ignore it, he'll ignore it. But when he is kind of painted into a corner, he'll excuse it or brush it off. And he's not listening to these people who come back. Like I said, it's a cycle. Every few months or so, different people come along with the same concerns as the last group. And it's people present their concerns and he brushes them off and they move on. And the people say, okay, well, I did what I could. I'm going to put it in the Lord's hands. And then a few months later, somebody else does the same thing. Just a cycle, lather, rinse, repeat. But please stay away from Michael Brown.
Yeah. We are all going to have to stand in front of God one day and give an account. And I don't say that threateningly or anything. It's just a matter of fact. I'm going to have to stand and give an account for what I've done with what God has given me and what I've taught. And I look at that with fear and trembling. So, yeah.
But that's
and
a sign of, like I said, it's a sign of a mature and or maturing Christian that you would have the fear of God and revere his word enough that you're going to be careful with it.
Right.
Well, Michelle, it's gone long, and I'm grateful for you for your time. Second episode with me. Thanks again for coming on. And I know we've only scratched the surface on the New Apostolic Reformation. And so for those of you who are newer to the show and haven't heard those archived episodes, echozoe.com/107, please go back and listen. There's a lot there. And another ministry, I mentioned listening to Chris Roseborough. Chris has got a great ministry. Chris is, he's Lutheran, he's conservative, he's kind of everybody's favorite Lutheran, I think. He's got a really great ministry where he reviews sermons almost every day. He's taken this toxic, terrible stuff, playing it, and reviews them, compares them to scripture. I don't know. I've got such high views of Chris that I've heard him talk briefly about what he does behind the scenes. He does it so biblically and he does so caringly. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen what he's done. It has never been talked about publicly. The guy has a pastor's heart. He's got a lot of stuff on the New Apostolic Reformation. It comes up a lot. Like I said, he does a 2-hour or 3-hour show every day online. He's reviewing sermons. He's reviewing books. He's reviewing videos. He's reviewing materials almost every day, comparing them with scripture. And this stuff is so commonplace and so toxic that it's all the time. So if you're listening to this and you've got some interest and you want to know more about New Apostolic, I can't recommend Chris enough. I mean, there's so much. You will learn a lot about the New Apostolic through Chris. So please, piratechristian.com.org.
Right.
Piratechristian.com.
I would just add also that Chris has two great, compatriots or first mates or whatever on the pirate ship over there. Amy Spreeman is in the middle of he has a blog as well as the podcast. Mm-hmm. And on his blog, Amy Spreeman and Stephen Kozar both write for his website. And right now, Amy Spreeman is in the middle of a series of testimonies from people who have come out of NAR churches and their stories and everything that they've gone through. And so I would highly, highly recommend that. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Kozar has done a number of articles where he calls it the cornucopia of information on this person or that person. And he's done one on the New Apostolic Reformation. So I would look for that as well, the cornucopia of information on the New Apostolic Reformation. I can't remember what the exact title is, but if you go to piratechristian.com and look for Stephen's blog, is called The Messed Up Church. And so it should be on there. And then Amy's blog is called Berean Examiner. And both of those are at piratechristian.com. Yep. And there's a lot of good information on the New Apostolic Reformation there.
Yeah, I see both of them. If you go to piratechristian.com, up on the top, there's a bunch of links. I was specifically talking about his show. It's called Fighting for the Faith. It's under podcasts. And then there's a blogs drop down that's got Messed Up Church and Marine Examiner, as well as some other ones. And just so much stuff there. And you can really learn a lot. He doesn't just talk about New Apostolic, but like I said, it comes up so much that there's really a wealth of stuff there. And I've been looking at this. You pointed out to me because I didn't know. I don't get to listen to Chris very often. We were referring a little bit to this article by Amy Spreeman on, it's called The Six Hallmarks of the NAR Church. It was one of the things we're kind of using as show material today. And this particular post has, man, it's got to be 30, 40, 50 links to other articles. Even got a couple of my past podcasts are on here, actually. So, Bob DeWay's on here. A lot of names that I recognize and trust on the subject.
Right. Amy really knows her stuff when it comes to the New Apostolic Reformation. She's been such a blessing to me, and just her knowledge of what goes on in this movement. I would highly, highly recommend her as a good resource.
All right. Well, I won't make the long episode too much longer, but again, thank you for doing this with me. It's been a pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. Again, I like to point people every episode. I think this one is especially pertinent. Please check the show notes because there's so much information there. echozoe.com/107. And we'll have a lot of stuff there. And it's a rabbit hole. Like I said, just clicking on a link here. I mean, that one link from Amy Spreeman, 6 hallmarks of an NAR church. And you could spend couple of days just going through all the links she's got there. So a lot of information.
Echo Zoe Radio is an outreach of Echo Zoe Ministries. If you are blessed by the show, please consider offering your support. There are many things you can do to help, including prayer, sharing the show with others, and your financial support. Echo Zoe Ministries is a registered nonprofit organization with 501c3 tax exempt status, and your donations are tax deductible. For more information about how you can support Echo Zoe Ministries, please visit echozoe.com/support.
Well, that wraps up episode 107. Thanks for listening to Echo Zoe Radio. For show notes, once again, visit echozoe.com/107. Be sure to check out the website for links to connect to Echo Zoe on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, and love to connect with you. So follow, like, or circle Echo Zoe Ministries. Finally, while I have some ideas, I don't yet have solid plans for the next episode. If you have any suggestions, topics you'd like to know more about, and or guests you'd like me to reach out to for an interview, please feel free to suggest them to me. You can do that via the contact form at echozoe.com/contact or via Twitter. You'll find me at @echozoe or my personal account, which is @avgandy or average Andy. Lord willing, we'll be back next month for the April 2017 episode of Echo Zoe Radio.